Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to this study in our series on angels in the spirit world, this study titled Near-Death Experiences. The conclusion of this two-part study can be found on our website at bbfohio.com. You'll also find many other free resources, along with our contact and donation information, right there at bbfohio.com, along with a link to our 24/7 internet radio station, bbfohioradio.com. And now we begin with this current events update and then our study of near-death experiences. This is part one of two. Our current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, as predicted, conservative split and rhinos won. At least I predicted that. These two knowingly split the conservative vote and handed the Ohio GOP primary election for governor to Rhino DeWine. Nothing new. These guys have been doing it for years. Most of the time, it's conservatives who do it, and they're too proud. Both men hurt their cause if they really believe in their stated cause, because both were too proud and self-centered to step aside and allow a unified conservative candidate to win. That's what happened. Yep. And anybody with any sense knew this was going to happen. And they knew it was going to happen. I guarantee you they had people telling them it was going to happen. But my dad told me years ago, you know, how many of you have been around long enough to see all the fundamentalists fight each other all the time? Oh, yeah. And I asked my dad, this is probably, I'd probably only been saved for a short time. And I said, why is it like that? The sword of the Lord was always coming out against somebody, and then biblical evangelists would come out against somebody, and then this and that paper, and that was before the internet. And he said, because everybody wants to be chief. that's exactly right. Everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. What do you get when you mix red and blue?
Purple
rhinos. That's what you get in the state of Ohio. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, this is a great Cleveland.com. They got the headline right. Mike DeWine triumphs in Republican primary over split opposition. There was opposition to DeWine, and they split the vote. Mike DeWine has little chance of losing to this goofball from Dayton that he's going to be running against. So we can expect four more years of DeRhino. Also, the Ohio Senate primary, Trump-backed J.D. Vance wins GOP nomination in crowded field. Now, I've told you before, it's likely that Trump backed him because the polls all showed that Vance would win if he ran against Ryan. And other polls showed that Ryan might have had a better chance against Mandel or Gibbons or Dolan or whoever else. That may be true. But I remind you that Donald Trump's biggest failure has always been who he surrounds himself with.
Yeah.
And so this didn't surprise me when he backed J.D. Vance. And if he defeats leftist libtard Tim Ryan, he will probably be just like Rob Portman.
Yes.
So the bottom line is that nothing is changing in Ohio, but could get worse. Could get worse. So pray that it doesn't get any worse. Number two, regarding the Supreme Court abortion decision leak, I assume most of you have seen that in the news. I believe there's one major motive, and that is the radical left's ongoing campaign to bully and intimidate federal judges. Chuck Schumer, a couple years ago, was threatening the judges. They're constantly threatening the judges. Never, if a conservative ever did that, I mean, they would. If they were in the office, they'd be impeached. And if conservatives in the media did it, they'd be fired. But the liberals get by with it. They are always getting by with criminality. And they're normally, when they're accusing you of doing something, it's what they are doing. So Roe v. Wade was a rogue decision made by activist judges who created a right to abortion in the 14th Amendment. Go home sometime and look up the 14th Amendment. Cornell University Law has a website where you can read the text of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and all the amendments are make up the Bill of Rights. The 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause and the Constitutional Right to Privacy. USA Today, of all people, they're leftist, but they get it right. The 14th Amendment also establishes the right to due process at the state level. That's true. Then they go on to say, the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling relied on this clause when it concluded that prohibiting abortion violated a right to privacy under the Constitution by restricting a person's ability to choose whether to have an abortion. That's insanity.
Yeah.
It's hogwash. It's nonsense. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, before she died, tried to tell these left-wingers, the Roe v. Wade decision's bad law, and if you want abortion to remain legal federally, you're going to have to codify it in the Senate and in the House and have the president sign it into law. Well, they couldn't do that. They couldn't get it done. But that's what she. That's why Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that, because Roe v. Wade is a total lie. They just invented. The liberals have said for going on probably 70 or 80 years now that the Constitution is not to be followed. They say it's a living, breathing document, which means they can make it mean whatever they want it to mean. And that's exactly what they've done. And that's how they found abortion in the 14th Amendment. The standard liberal lie is repeated by the wicked leftist named Hillary Clinton. She posted this about that decision to overturn Roe v. Wade that was leaked. She said it was not surprising, but still outrageous. This decision is a direct assault on the dignity, rights, and lives of women. Look at this. Not to mention decades of settled law.
Wow.
It's a total lie. She's a liar and of her father the devil.
Right.
Here's how this works. This is how they did it. First, they invented a right to abortion in the 14th Amendment. Go home and read it. You won't find it. Then, that invention is called precedent. And legally, precedent is supposed to be pretty much settled. But they invented it, so it shouldn't be precedent at all. Then they established the settled nature of legal precedent, where other liberal judges make decisions referring to the precedent of Roe v. Wade. A lie told over and over and over becomes the truth, or at least perceived to be. That's all they did with Roe v. Wade. It was a lie that they repeated over and over and over. Then they repeat this lie, claiming that Roe itself is settled law. It's all a big lie.
Amen.
But the whole Roe precedent is predicated on the liberal living, breathing Constitution lie. So you need to understand, that's what it means to be a liberal. Anytime a liberal is appointed as a judge, they will not actually rule based on the Constitution. They will rule based on their own belief system, and then they will try to find some kind of legal semantics to make it sound like it has something to do with the Constitution. And that's how Satan works. That's how he does in your new Bibles. I mean, why does, for example, 1 John 5:7 has been ripped out of your Bible. If you have an NIV, it's not there. The ESV, it's not there. 1 Timothy 3:16 says God was manifest in the flesh, not in the NIV, not in the ESV. Why? Because the oldest and best manuscripts say. That's a lie. They just totally lie about those manuscripts that they call oldest and best. They're not oldest or best.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that, we've got New Versions or Vatican Versions DVD. We've got it online. You can watch it, and we present all the facts about that. But see how it works? First, you establish a lie that these are the oldest and best manuscripts. And most people don't know enough about it, so they think, oh, well, if they're the oldest and best, then that's what we ought to follow. And so then they come out with new versions and say, all we did was update the language and then changed a few places where the oldest and best manuscripts say. And then what they don't tell you is the only reason they did it was so that they could get a copyright on a Bible and sell it and make all the money.
Yeah, right.
So that's when there's a buck in it. So the leaked Supreme Court of the U.S. decision explains that they are writing this abuse of law in 1973, meaning correcting, but that's the word they were using today. They're righting a wrong, and that is what then they're using this to try to stir up all the liberals, leftists, so that when the elections are held, the midterms are held, they're hoping that it'll excite them, yeah, and they'll be able to avoid the big crash that otherwise appears to be coming for the left-wing Democrats in this country. I also give some credence to something said by Wayne Allen Root. He's a political commentator, but he actually ran for vice president with Bob Barr back in 2004, and I voted for them. And Wayne Allen Root said that he believed that the reason it was right now and not some other time is because what else was released?
2,000
mules that show that the election was stolen. And they're trying to keep that from gaining momentum and people to see that. So tell everyone you know that as soon as they're able to watch 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza. And I'll just give you a hint. You don't hear me promote a lot of these things going on from the conservatives because a lot of times they're overhyped. But I've seen the video clips. How many of you have seen the video clips? It shows that this election was stolen. And Dennis Prager, you've heard me mention him before. He's a conservative, but he's soft. He's a Jew. He's an unbeliever. He's not a Christian. And he's very soft. And he's always excusing the liberals and saying, well, liberals aren't leftists. And I think he's wrong. Liberals are. But he went into this, and Dinesh had all these guys sit in a semicircle around him, and they said, I want to get your opinion about the election first. Then I'm going to show you the evidence and then come back to you. And they all had a similar response, but Dennis Prager's was impressive because he said, on this question of the stolen election, I'm basically agnostic. He said, I don't know and I don't believe. I just can't believe that the Democrats in this country would actually do this. Showed him the evidence, and afterward he was beside himself. He said, you have shown that this election, what the Democrats are doing to this country, they're trying to kill this country. He went totally from one extreme to the other just by seeing that movie, 2,000 Mules.
That's pretty significant.
So I'd expect that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to react that way, and that's why they're stirring up the leftists to try to get you from paying attention to that movie. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, 1-4. Eastern mysticism has been massively promoted by many reported near-death experiences. That's why we follow up our study of Eastern mysticism with this study. They're called NDEs, so if you hear me refer to them as NDEs, it's near-death experiences. But there are also a number of NDEs that align with biblical reports like this one. So that's where we're going to start here. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 4. You read the even verses with me. Verse 1 says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and God, words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Amen?
Amen.
I got tongue-tied there. And heard unspeakable words. That's an important phrase there. So this tells of what Paul experienced, which is very similar to what you hear a lot of the near-death experience reports. And we're going to come back to this, so keep that in mind. But Paul's experience was singular and is not presented as typical or normal to believers. I've done a search, and I just haven't been able to find any other examples of this. other people, Elijah and Enoch, went up and never came back. and by the way, the Mount of Transfiguration we'll refer to in a little bit, but that was totally different. Those people, were dead and came back. But Christians are influenced by popular books and films like, how many of you heard of 23 Minutes in Hell? Well, among rare hell NDEs, but numerous unbiblical details. Only 1% of all near-death experiences that are reported involve going to hell and coming back. And the book itself has very unbiblical details in it. Well, I'm sorry, if it has unbiblical details, then somebody's making something up. Yeah. And that's the attitude you have to have about anything. How many of you have, like, charismatic friends or relatives, and they love telling their, I call them ghost stories. They're always telling their stories about devils, and they'll usually say demons or whatever, or this, seeing this, or, you know, and many times goes totally against Scripture. And when you say, well, wait a minute now, according to the Bible, that isn't the way it's supposed to be, they get offended. They don't want you to test them by the Bible. They can get over it. You're supposed to test everything by the Scripture. So when somebody's telling you a ghost story and it doesn't match up with Scripture, don't be shy about it. You don't have to be mean or anything. I'm not mean to them. I just tell them. Say, according to the Bible, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Another one, the boy who came back from heaven. Kevin and Alex Malarkey. And
that's their real name.
Poor guy.
Wow. Bell Fountain, Ohio. Became a national bestseller. Made a movie out of it. To his credit, Kevin's the boy who had the experience, and he later came out and said that it was all made up. It was malarkey. Yeah. And he and his mother even went to the Christian book publisher to tell him, Kevin made this up. He was a little boy. And his dad took it and embellished it and everything. They still wanted to keep selling the book. Those are the same book publishers selling you your new versions. It's all about the money. It's not about truth. Another one's called Heaven is for Real. How many of you saw that? Greg Kinnear and some others in it. Numerous unbiblical things found in this NDE account of a little boy. Just some of it includes where, you know, he is in heaven and a bunch of little kids are in heaven playing on swing sets and all that kind of thing. I mean, it's just not biblical. Jenny and I watched this the other day called 90 Minutes in Heaven. I believe most of what this guy experienced, but the idea that he went to heaven and came back is the part I don't believe. And one reason is, like I said, somewhat believable, but the appearance of deceased believers being of all ages, including very elderly in heaven, doesn't seem to match the biblical description of us in heaven. Amen. Say, praise the Lord. Uh-huh. How many of you over the age of 40 even want to be this age when you're in heaven?
No, no way.
1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. Well, what's Jesus like? And how is Jesus described now in his glory? That's what the people are going to look like if you see him in heaven. And how do they look? Well, they look like Jesus. In Revelation 1:14-15, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. That doesn't sound like there's going to be a bunch of senior citizens up there walking around saying, Hey, sonny, good to see you up here. Yeah, glad you made it. And that's how these books portray it. So the next time you see your deceased great-grandma, she isn't going to look old and feeble. Thank God. Grandma's going to look like she probably did when she's about 30 or so. That's when Jesus... Yeah. Huh?
About Darren's age.
Yeah, about Darren's age. Picture Darren with hair white like wool, eyes like a flame of fire. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, he's younger than I was just joking.
But I believe... I mean, so we're going to recognize our loved one. Let's say great-grandma, grandma, whoever's up there waiting on you. You'll recognize them, but they're going to look like the prime of their life, and they're going to be glorified.
Amen.
And these guys who go and do these NDEs and come back and talk about them, they don't. That's not what they claim they see. I just immediately toss it. I believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Johnny?
I don't know if this is meaningful or not, but it seems to me like you can get some other additional logic that supports that, in addition, of course, to the Bible there, is the fact that, you know, the reason we get old eventually, it's a product of sin.
Right.
Because you have a body, but it starts to break down.
That is it's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the effects of sin will not be seen in heaven.
Yeah.
And age is that effect.
Yeah.
Jessica?
What about the babies who were murdered? And
they'll be in the prime of their life.
And you'll be able to recognize them? And
yeah. Yeah. There's going to be mothers who had stillborn. There'll be women who aborted their babies.
Yeah.
And they're going to see those babies. What do you think? I mean, I'm not saying this about you, but other people have actually said this. They think they're going to go to heaven and all these babies are going to be up there. I guess, you know, you women go to heaven, you're going to get to take care of babies? No. And there's some who teach that those babies are going to come back and grow up in the millennium. You ever heard that? There's no biblical basis for that. But I mean, because they think, well, they died as babies and they were never saved. Well, they weren't saved in the sense of, you know, growing up and becoming a believer and being baptized. But they are innocent. Therefore, they're not subject to the wages of sin because they didn't reach that. It's not an age, a condition of maturity. Really bad fundamentalist teaching was the age of accountability. There's no age of accountability. Every child at a different time reaches a mental state where they're accountable. And then if a child is mentally handicapped or something like that, they may never reach that age. They may die at the age of 80. Who was it? Somebody, was it you telling me, Kim, about the fellow who grew up to be an old man, but he was always mentally handicapped? Well, he won't be 97 in heaven, but he'll be totally there and more than any of us are right now. So the terms, we need to establish the working definition, just so you know. Near-death experiences, A, occur at a time when the person is so physically compromised that they are typically unconscious, comatose, or clinically dead. That's when a near-death experience takes place. Or B, near-death experiences include visitations from the deceased. 2, out-of-body experiences. 3, the heavenly experiences, where they claim to have actually gone to heaven. Now, we have to examine these. We'll look at the 3 types of NDEs reported. And we're going to do scripture with scripture, the old reading round robin. Jenny, get that microphone ready. So we're going to start with examining visitations, also sometimes just referred to as appearances. A deceased loved one appears and sometimes communicates, usually with a grieving loved one. So the biblical basis for accepting testimony of visitations is based on what we mentioned a moment ago. Go ahead and have Jessica read Matthew 17, 1 through 5.
After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
So this was the Father's confirmation of the ministry of the Son with Moses and Elijah as eyewitnesses. And so people will grab this and say, see, Moses and Elijah were dead, and they came back and they had this visit. Well, the problem is really one of proportionality. Most of the time when these near-death experiences and they claim someone has come back from the dead to appear, it's ridiculous. I'm just...